So, a little bit of introduction to what we're about to do. We're about to start a series, seven weeks, all going well, where we're going to go through the 7 days of creation. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. We're going to go through each day. And today we're going to focus on the first day of creation. Just as a form of introduction, this is a project that I've been working on for around 2 years. I've been learning with a chavrusa of mine. The beginning of Parshas Bereishis, and we've done like the first two chapters, and it's taken us, like I say, about 2 years. So this is a project that needs a lot of work, a lot of patience. But I would like to present to you tonight, discuss together, some clarity that I've come out with that I have not understood before. And if you have any simple, like short questions, just like I'm not being clear enough, then please let me know. I would say that longer questions that need more discussion, maybe leave them towards the end, or maybe speak to me privately. You have my number, I'll send you my number, and we'll talk about some of the things we spoke about. So like I say, short questions that need clarification, then please, by all means. But otherwise, go ahead and make a start. So I don't know how many of you have a chumash in front of you. Would be a little bit, but it's if you don't. So I'm going to start by just reading the first day. The first day of creation, 1-1, right at the beginning, Parshas Bereishis. And I'm just going to read the first, how many verses is it? The first five verses, and that will be the framework of what we're going to be discussing tonight. I'll just give another second to those who are getting a chumash. Okay, so we have over here like this. Bereishis bara Elokim. In the beginning, I'm just going to translate it very simply. In the beginning, God created. Eis ha-shamayim ve-eis ha-aretz, he created the heavens and he created the earth. And then verse 2 goes and says, v'ha-aretz, and this earth that we just spoke about, ha-isa-sohu v'avohu, it was empty, it was barren, it was unclear what it was. It didn't have very much shape. And we're going to talk about that. V'choshech al-pnei sohom, and there was complete darkness covering over the What is Ruach, sorry, let me just, if you don't mind to mute, whoever is, I think I got it. V'choshech al-pnei sohom, there was darkness. V'ruach alekem v'rachefes al-pnei hamam. And the Spirit of God was floating over the water. So we have a lot of water. Everything is water at this point. And you have what you call darkness. You have emptiness. You have the Spirit of God floating over all this water, all this darkness. Right? Obviously a very, very unclear picture. Then verse 3 comes along and says, Vayom Elokim, and God said, Yehi or let there be light. Vayehi or, and there was light. So God said, there should be light, and then there was light. Vayar Elokim asa'or kitov, and God saw that the light was good. Vayavdel Elokim, and he therefore decided to make a separation bein ha'or ben ha'choshech, between the light and between the darkness. And the final verse is, Vayikra Elokim la'orim, and God called the light day, so he gave a name to light. The concept of light is now going to be called day. But lachoshech kara laila, to darkness he called night. Vayehi erev, vayevoker, it was evening, it was morning, yom echad, and this is the first day of creation. So the first day of creation we have, God creating the world, he creates the heaven, he creates the earth. The earth is barren, there's darkness, the Spirit of God, then God said there should be light. Then he separates between the light and between the darkness. He calls the light day, he calls the darkness night, and this is what we have by day one. So let us try and understand. I'll tell you that the hardest part of preparing this class for tonight was not what to say, but it was what not to say. Now there's so much to talk about this first day of creation, just to try and figure out, you know, what is the main thing that we want to see about day one. So I've pulled out over here 2 points. And we're going to climb, we'll go step by step, and we'll see what we have. And the main thing is it should be clear. Like I say, we'll start, and we'll climb our way up as we go along. So the commentaries, everything I'm saying is based on the words of the Ramban, one of the early Rishonim, the Ramban, Rabbeinu Bachai, is somebody else who was a sort of like a little bit after the Ramban, Nachmanides. And then a lot of it, I've heard the explanation coming from Rav Moshe Shapiro. And we'll see as we go along what we're saying from what. So if you look at the wording of Bereishis, it says in the beginning, bara Elokim, God created. Now the word for creation that it uses over here is bara. Berea. We call this world, it's called a Berea. It's called a creation. Now, there's other words that we use for creation. We would use the word Yetzira, right? Berea, Yetzira would be almost like interchangeable names, which we would think are the same thing. And the Rishonim over here, the commentators want to know what exactly is the definition of the word bara. In the beginning, God was bara. He created. How do you define creation? That is point number one of what we need to explain. How do you define the definition of bara, of bari'ah, creation? What is creation? What
something is from nothing.
Something from nothing, exactly. So that is exactly where we're heading. And this is what I want to give a little more breadth to, a little more clarity to, but that is absolutely where we're heading. So the Ramban, like you just said, Nachmanides, Rabbeinu Bachai, they all say like this. The definition of creation is something from nothing. Now, something from nothing needs a lot of explanation. What exactly does this mean? Something from nothing? What is nothing and what is something? Right? How are we going to define nothingness? And how are we going to define something? He created, Berea, he created something from nothing. What in Hebrew, what you would call that is a yesh me'ayin. Something from nothing. How do we define it? So we need to talk about all of that, and I'm going to put that for part two to explain what does it mean, something from nothing. But for now, for part one, I think we should just talk about what exactly does it mean that he created on this day something? What did he create? So the commentaries explain like this. The commentaries explain that today, on day one, was the only day of creation. And this is a little bit of a shock, because we say, and even the title of, I think, the series is called The 7 Days of Creation. But if we would want to be a little bit particular about the wording that we're using, I would actually say that day one was the only day of creation. The only time that God created a berea, something from nothing, was on day one. After that, day 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and of course 7, which was Shabbos, was all what you would call Yetzirah, was all formation. Formation means that what you're forming out of material that already exists. But the material is already here in the world. The only time we have that there was something that came from nowhere, we'll talk about that, like I said, later. What does it mean that something came from nothing? What does it mean, Yesh Me'ayin? The only time we have something from nothing is going to be on day one. Day one, God created something. After that, day 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, he took that something and he formed it in all different forms. Could have been in the form of trees and rivers and mountains and animals and fish, human beings. But it's all from something that already existed on day one, which is a pretty amazing thing. Day one is the day of creation. Creation means something from nothing. And the only day that that happened is on day one. And this was, when I learned this was news. This to me was big news, that day one is the only day which we could define as Berea, creating something from nothing. Now, let's try and understand this a little bit. So he created something. What did he create? So the commentaries go on to explain that what he created was, he created stuff, matter, material, clay, something which had no form, something which, if you looked at it, you actually had no idea what it was. That means if we would have been there, taking a bird's eye view, we would have seen the world at its moment of creation. We would be looking at it. What would we have said about this world? You know what we would have said? We would have said nothing. We would have said, I don't even know what. I can't even say, I can't give it a color. I can't give it a shape. I can't give it a name. I can't give it a definition. I'm just looking at stuff, pure stuff. It's so hard for our brains to comprehend what this means. Because today, I don't think there is anything in the world which doesn't have some form of shape. That everything in the world today has some dimension, has some size, it has some shape, has a color, has something which we could name it, where we could give it some form of, what is this? How do we describe what this is? On day one, right at the beginning, he created stuff. He created matter. And this matter had no form, had no shape, had no definition. The commentaries say the Maharal, the great 15th century Jewish Kabbalist, the Maharal, he explains that the thing that we have in the world today that is closest to this concept, what do we have today in the world that is the closest to pure matter, which doesn't have any shape, which doesn't have any form? This is a beautiful thing. We could take a moment to think about this. What do we have today in the world? And by the way, if anybody wants to make use of the chat button, I'll do my best to look at that. I see I got one over here. If anybody wants to type in, what do we have today in the world that is the closest to having no shape, no size, no definition, almost no color? There's one thing that we have today that's pretty close. And that thing that we have is actually what you would call mime, water. Because water has almost no color. It's clear. Water doesn't have a shape. Now, even if you would take water and you could put it in here in my water bottle, but the water doesn't have any shape. All I've done is I've taken a stainless steel item and I've forced the water to stay in the confines of my shape. But the second this thing would break, we all know what happens to water. Water is just going to spill. Water is going to go. You're never going to be able to take water and hold it in a certain shape. So water is actually the closest thing that we have to what you would call something which doesn't have any shape or form. And that's why on day one, there's a lot of water. On day one, it says the Spirit of God was hovering over the water, because water is just nothingness. Water is like infinite. It's just, the ocean is just infinite. It goes, it goes, it goes. The only reason why the ocean isn't flooding the world is because God says that the sand, the beach should stop it. But really, the sages teach us that every moment, every wave that comes, that wave wants to wash over the world. So water is basically the closest thing that we have to understanding what does it mean, pure stuff, pure matter. This is what he created on day one. However, he created two types of this. He didn't create one. He created two types of stuff. One of them is called heaven, and one of them is called earth. So Harvey's asking, why not air? That's a good point. That's a good point. I believe, I want to think about that, and I'm happy to hear from you. Air, you would think in a way, is even less than water. You would think it has maybe, it's a good question. I think air maybe is maybe too little even. Maybe it's almost like half spiritual. But it's a good point. Yeah, I agree with you. I would say air is maybe even more than water. For some reason, the Maharal is very busy with water, but I hear your point. It's a valid point. But he created on day one stuff, and he made two types of stuff, two types of material. One of them is a type of material that is made for heaven, which includes stars, galaxies, even angels. The other one is he created the type of material, the type of matter, which we're going to create from that matter anything on earth. So if you go back to verse one, you got to read this verse again, and it's going to be like when I saw this verse after having seen this, it was a different world to me. Bereshis bara elokim, in the beginning God created. So the second we said that word create, we already know what we're talking about. We're talking about berea, we're talking about something from nothing. That means this is the first time that we have something. What is this something? Eis Hashamayim. He created something. He created matter, which is going to eventually be a form of anything that goes on in the heaven. And then he created another type of stuff, another type of matter, the Eis Ha'aretz, and then he created the earth. Which means, if we take a deep breath and we think about it, then this needs real contemplation. Anything that goes on today, any invention, any technology, any building, anything, any human being, any single thing that a human being or not a human being creates and invents today, if you would have to define it, I would define it as nothing new. What we're doing today is we're in the business of formation. Everything we do today, if you take a cell phone as an example, a cell phone is not a creation. It's not something from nothing. What a cell phone is some very smart people figured out that if we take this component and another 2,000 components, I made up that number. If we take 2,000 components and put them together in a very specific order and we program them in a very certain way, it will turn into what you call a cell phone. But if you would have to define the cell phone, you would say, was it created today? Or is it just components that have already been here? That today man has the intellect to know what to do with it. There's nothing new. Every single thing that is invented today, the definition of it would not be creation. The only time you have the right to say the word creation is day one of creation. It's unbelievable. Day one is the only day where you're allowed to say created. After that, everything is about giving a form to things that have already been created. So on day two, God took and he made dry land. He separated. He separated between the heavens and the earth. Then he made dry land. Then he made grass. Then he made animals. Then he made fish. But all of this is from components that have already been here. So day one is Bari'ah. After that, it's all about Yetzirah. It's all about formation. So we're going to continue to verse 2, and I'm going to go along this track, and I hope so far we're clear. And please ask me if I'm not being clear. We're going to go on to verse 2, to Pasuk Beis, and we're going to continue along this track. And then it goes on and it says, V'ha'aretz. So this matter, this stuff that we're talking about, what you would call the stuff that is used to make anything in the future, which is going to be on earth. Where is it up to? What's it made out of? Ha'isa soihu. It was barren. It was desolate. The Mefarshim, the commentaries say that. You want to know what it means? It was tohu. Tohu means that you had literally no word to describe it. At this point, there was nothing you could say that would be a good definition for what this thing is. It was literally just you looked at it and your mouth was open and it was, I don't know. I don't know what this is. I can't even say about it. I don't know. I can't even get there. Ubohu. Bohu is already the beginning of giving it its shape. Bohu, the commentaries say, the word bohu means bohu. In it, it is. That means that we're already starting to see in this matter, we're already starting to see some sort of shape, some sort of form, some sort of an inkling of what's about to come. So that means it started off as tohu, nothing. No word, no formation at all. Then it was bohu. It was already start to see inside this sonic, which is going to be. And then the next four things that we have, the next three things, I should say, are the four elements that make up earth. So we know the philosophers already taught us this, and the Kabbalists and everybody else, everyone's on the same page, that everything in the world is made up of four main ingredients, four key ingredients. And that is Eish, fire, fire component. Ruach is wind, air. Then we got mind, we got water. And then we got afar, and that is earth. Everything in the world is made up of an ingredient of fire, wind, water, and earth. And this verse over here is going to say that we already started to see in this matter on earth, we already started to make out these four things. So where do we have these four things? So the beginning of the verse, V'ha'aretz, and the earth. That includes in it, of course, the earth. That's component number one. V'choshech al pnei sehom. There was darkness on the face of the earth. Now, what does darkness refer to? So this, I don't have any understanding or knowledge in this. I'm only quoting to you what the Ramban and Rabbeinu Bachai both say. Like I say, it's not something that I know about, but I'm just quoting to you what they say. And he writes that if you would look at the root element of fire, the definition of it would be darkness. Now, like I say, if anybody has anything to add on that, I would love to hear if we know of such a thing today. But if we look at fire today, it doesn't look like darkness. But he writes, and they all say this, that the root of fire is actually darkness. And he says if you would go to the core of the earth and you would go deep, deep beyond, you would actually see that all the way at the root of fire is darkness. As I'm talking, I'm trying to see if I can come up with an understanding. The only thing that is coming into my head right now is possibly that what fire does is it burns everything up. Fire is actually going to take anything which exists and it's going to reduce it to nothing. So the root of fire, what it's trying to do is it's trying to suck everything up and take it from its existence and almost make it non-existent, which would mean that what's really driving fire at the core is darkness, is nothingness, is blackness. But that's just my two cents. That's what they say. Then we have a Ruach Alikim, the Spirit of God, which refers to the third component, which is the Spirit. And then we have Merachefes al Pnei Hamom, which all of this is floating above the water because the water is component number four. So if we want to summarize what we have so far, what we have so far is God created something from nothing. He created two types of something. He created matter for heaven and he created matter for earth. The matter for earth has in it four components, and we're already starting to see a form, and that is earth, then we're seeing darkness, which is fire, then we're seeing wind, air, and then we're seeing water, which is all four components, which none of them have any shape, but you're just seeing the components inside this very vague picture that we have in day one. Now, if we pause here for a minute, and let's think about this. What is the glaring omission that the verses aren't talking about? If the verses have written that God created two types of things. He created a heaven type of material. He created an earth type of material. Verse 2 explains what the earth type of material was made out of. Fire, wind, water, and air. And earth. But what about the heavens? What was that made out of? You're not going to find a verse that explains anything about what went on in the heaven. It says God created heaven. He created earth. The earth was empty. It was barren. It was dark. There was wind. There was water. God said there should be light. But what about the heavens? Where are we told what is going on in the heavens? This is a strong question. This is a very, very strong question. If you take a look at the verses, there's a glaring omission. What's going on with the heavens? You've told us about the earth. You've told us about the four components. If you keep on going, you keep on reading, you're not going to find a mention about what God did in the heavens. What did he create over there? Well, let's just take 20 seconds just to contemplate the question. What is going on in the heavens that we're not taught about what's going on over there? So Rabbeinu Bachai over here reveals beautiful, beautiful thing. And if this is all we get out of this, then I'm already happy. Rabbeinu Bachai reveals a beautiful point. And he writes that the Torah cannot reveal what goes on in the heaven. Because what goes on in the heavens is too beyond. It's too deep. You can't really use words for it. You can't really describe it. It's too esoteric. It's too Kabbalistic. Whatever word you want to use, but it's not something that, excuse me, it's not something that we could really talk about. But, okay, so you're going to leave us hanging. So you can't write what goes on in the heavens. So you're just going to tell us about the earth. But, so are we never going to know what goes on in the heavens? How are we supposed to know what goes on? If you want to ask the question like this, we know that the great Kabbalists reveal to us very, very much what goes on in the heavens. Where did they know that from? Was it just divine Ruach HaKodesh? Was it just came down to them in a dream? Also true, but where's the starting point? Are we just, Rabbeinu Bachai writes, we can't write what goes on in the heavens because it's too deep. It's too esoteric. So what are we never going to know what goes on in the heavens? And this is a beautiful, beautiful point. You want to know what goes on in the heavens, you just got to study the earth. Because the earth is actually a manifestation in a very physical sense of what is going on in the heavens. So if you want to know what heaven looks like, look and study every component of this beautiful world that we live in and try your best to trace it and understand its concept. If you understand its concept, that's what heaven looks like. This is a beautiful, beautiful point. Heaven doesn't have a physical form. Heaven has a conceptual form. Heaven is about the root concept. I'll give you an example. Rain is something that we know comes down from above and gives blessing down here to the earth. Things grow when rain comes down. Now, rain is a very physical concept. If you understand the concept of rain, that what rain is all about is it's something going from top to bottom and allowing something to grow from the bottom, then you now know that in the heavens, there's something going on over there within all the divine emanations where something goes down and causes something underneath it to expand and blossom. But in a spiritual version, but if you would study the human body and you would look at the mind, you would study the brain, the heart, the organs, you would actually be able to know that all of that goes on in the heavens, in the esoteric worlds, just in its conceptual form and not in its physical form. Because God didn't just decide to create this world from nowhere. He made this world as a physical manifestation of everything that's going on beyond this world. But God didn't just decide that, hey, why not make, 20,000 type of fish? Why not just make a couple mountains here, a couple valleys here, rivers, people, animals, all sorts of food? Why not? It would be fun, right? That wasn't what was going on. What he did was he took every concept that exists in heaven and he gave it a physical counterpart. Heaven, if you would study this world, the body, every animal, every fish, every river, every part of nature, what that would do is, and you understand what its concept is, of course, with the help of our sages who taught us what the concepts of these worlds are, you would know everything what goes on in the heaven. So, to recap what we've said so far, What we've said is that God created creation. Creation is something from nothing. We'll talk about that soon, why that means something from nothing. He created two types of material, a material for heaven, a material for earth. The material for heaven, we're not going to write anything about it because there's no words that we could really use to explain it. But we're now going to talk about the materials for earth. And we're going to use that as our blueprint to trace it back and understand a little bit what goes on in the heavens. So the materials of this earth was split into four things. There was darkness, which is fire, wind, water, and earth, which is dust. And this takes us now to God saying, Vayom Elokim, verse 3, where God says, Yehi Or, there should be light. Vayehi Or, and there was light. So this already I heard from Moshe Shapiro and many others, but he really drove it home for me. This sentence, where God said, there should be light, and there was light, this is, so to speak, our mission statement in this world. If you want to know where we got our marching orders, here it is. God created a world which had no shape. It's just stuff. There's nothing to it. It's just, you looked at it, you almost can't make anything out. You're just staring at a world of almost no form. We don't know anything about it. God came into that setting, to that backdrop, and he said, Yehi Or, there should be light. And there was light. And light filled up this world. And physical type of light. But let's just understand that what the point is, that what we do and what we're supposed to be doing in this world is not creation. Let's think about it like this. A baby is born. A baby is born with very little understanding, very little concepts that it could do. It can't really communicate, can't really walk, can't really move. And as we grow up, we start to add on this skill, then we add on this skill, then we add on this skill. And then sometimes we get married, we come together, a man and a woman, and we go further in life and we have a job and we have a family. And we build our lives up from the bottom and we go through the stages of life and then we get elderly and then we complete the picture. What is the definition of what we're doing in life? What are we doing? What we're doing is we're doing as much as possible, repeating creation of day one. What we're doing is we're coming into a world, we walk into a home, you see walls, you see stairs, you see a bed, you see a computer, all of it doesn't have any purpose so long as we haven't given it a shape. We haven't given it a purpose. When I talk about giving something a shape, giving it a form, what I mean is connecting it and giving it light, giving it a reason to be here, elevating it beyond its simple components of what it is. So long as everything in the world is just its ingredients of what it is, it hasn't yet really risen beyond its matter, beyond its material. But when I go over to it, and I'll talk about in a minute how we do that. When I go over to it and I give it a shape, I give it a purpose, I use it in my service of God, I elevate it. What I'm doing is I'm coming into a backdrop of nothingness and I'm infusing it all with light. These three verses repeat itself again and again and again. We have creation of nothingness. We start to see a shape and we come in with light and we flood it with light and we give it a purpose and we illuminate the world. That's what we're doing. We don't just do this once. We do this again and we do it again and we do it again. And this I heard again from Moshe Shapiro and he explained like this. Imagine somebody is starting out to study Torah for his first time. At this point, he doesn't know anything. We started out from nothing. We don't know anything. I walk in the room. Somebody says, let me share with you a very, very elementary Torah concept. We listen to it, we're blown away. Like, wow. Oh my gosh, this is incredible. What just happened at that moment is that we took something which had no shape, which had no form, and we gave it a form. Suddenly I know a concept. I think about that concept for a few days. And after a few days, that concept starts to become obvious. It starts to become basic. It starts to become elementary until it almost doesn't have a form anymore because it's too obvious. I then go to level two, and I now try and understand something at the next level. That is the new form that I'm giving to something that yesterday was just basic, and now I'm adding on form to that. And I keep on going another few days, and now that concept is again obvious to me. And then I add on another form, and I add on another form. And this is what goes on in the world. We're constantly refining and giving things more purpose than they used to have. We can never say that I was born, I gave myself a form, I gave myself a purpose, I have a certain shape, I have a certain purpose, I have a job, I have a, whatever I have, this is what I'm doing, and I'm keeping the Torah, and I'm doing God's guidelines of how he tells me to live, and I've given my life a form, I'm good to go. That's not what happens. What happens is that as we do it after a year, what last year was called a form, this year is your starting point. And now we need to give more form and more form and more form. Every layer that we add is another layer of coming into a backdrop of material, of matter, and giving it shape, giving it purpose. That is the mission statement. Creation of something. Giving it a shape, coming back to it again, giving it another shape, giving it a deeper shape. Elevating, elevating more, elevating more. But there's no point in this world where we could say that I've given my life its purpose. I've given my life its shape. This is how my life is going to look. We need to go more. We need to go more. We need to go more. And that is the concept of God coming into this backdrop and giving it light. And that is verse number three. So what we have is a creation of the earth. From the earth, we figure out what goes on in the heaven. In that backdrop of nothingness, God comes in and he blasts it with light. And that's the shape. And that's what our mission statement that we need to do in this world is to give all the stuff that we're surrounded with stuff, which isn't new, which is all just formations of all things. Give all that stuff purpose. Give it a form. Give it a purpose. Give it an elevation. And don't just stop by giving it one form and one elevation, but do it again and do it again and do it again. That is, you can call part number one of what I wanted to say. Now, to move on to part two, the concept of something from nothing. So we have another 10 minutes. Let's see what layer we're going to get to, but let's start like this. I heard a question a long, long time ago, and this is a great way to open up this question. The definition of something and the definition of nothing. So we would say that a table is something, and almost air is nothing. Right, that's probably, you know, again, very simply. We would say material, something which has a shape, which has a dimension, something which I could touch, I could feel, that is called something. And something which a spiritual concept is nothing. But in reality, it's really just the opposite. Because we know that God is not physical. And he is something, by all means. He is real. So, how am I to understand that God created the word stomach from nothing, which is almost implying that the spiritual worlds and God are nothing? What do you mean? God is everything. He is the something. If anything, I would say that this world is nothing from something, but not something from nothing. The definition of something, I would say, is something which is real. God is real. He's true. He's the beginning and he's the end and he's the middle. And he's spiritual. He's not physical. So if he created a physical world, would you define the physical world as the something from nothing, or do you define it as a nothing from something? This is almost a strange question. This is almost a strange question. But let us just think about it for a minute. Is the creation of the world something from nothing? That means that this world is something, this is the real thing, and that's nothing. Or is it the opposite? God and the spiritual worlds, they're the real thing, they're something. And this world is almost nothing, and he created nothing from something. Make sense? Does the question make sense? It's an interesting question, but let's try and approach it from this angle. The answer is that of course, God is the real thing. And that is the something. But you want to know why you call it nothing. It's because it doesn't have a definition. When we say the word nothing, In our English, we use nothing as a little bit like a derogatory term. we say that nothing, oh, that's nothing. Don't worry about it, right? Somebody comes and says, oh, did you hear what happened today? We say, oh, it's nothing. Just leave it. It's not a big deal. It's not a real thing. That's the way we define something as nothing. But in a deeper sense, in the Hebrew language, the word nothing actually doesn't mean that at all. The word nothing means that it's so deep that it actually can't have a name. It can't have a definition because it's infinite. If you would want to define infinity, infinity is nothing. Not because it's not real, just the opposite. It's just because, what are you going to say about infinity? Right? If we have a mathematician over here, what number are you going to give to infinity? It's an infinite number. What are you going to say about it that you're going to say that this is something? It's this, but it's not that, but it's infinite. When we're talking about God, God is infinite. So you can't say about God that he is something, because if you're saying he's something, that means you're defining him, and you're saying that he is this, and he's not that, but he's not, he's infinite. The only word you could say, which is actually the biggest compliment, is you could say that he's nothing. Nothing means that it doesn't have a shape, that God doesn't have a form, he's not physical, he's not bound to any limitation, and he doesn't take up any space. He is everything. That's what it means, that we call the upper worlds and God as unlimited, infinite, nothing. Now when we're coming to create a world, now we're creating something, because now limitations have started. So when he created heaven, he created earth, he created darkness, fire, water, all these things are limited concepts. When they're limited, we can now call them something. So the definition of something from nothing, if I would say it in different words, and this is a beautiful understanding, something from nothing means something finite from something infinite. That is, the, I believe, the correct understanding of what it means, something from nothing. Yesh me'ayin means you have now made a limitation. And that limitation comes from something which doesn't have a limitation. Now, if you want to know how could a God who is infinite create something finite, that is the deepest secrets of the Kabbalah. That is the most esoteric concept, and it's the simple answer is we will never understand it. How it's possible that God did that. But if we put that aside and we just believe that that's what he did. At this point of creation on day one, what's going on is God has now made a limitation. That limitation is called something because it's this and it's not that. It's coming from nothing. It's coming from an infinite place. It's coming from a place where there is no limitations. And therefore we're going to call it nothing. So what I want to say is like this. What do we do with all of this? Something from nothing, finite from infinite. What do I want from all of this? And what is the purpose? This is the idea. Why did God create a limitation? Why did he create something from nothing? Why did he make a world which is limited? Why didn't he make a world which is unlimited? Why didn't he make, so to speak, nothing from nothing? Why didn't he make infinite reality? Why did he make a limitation? And this goes into what we spoke about before. Because if he would have made an infinite world, then we would have nothing to do with it. Because we wouldn't comprehend it. We wouldn't be able to grasp it. We wouldn't be able to take a look at it and analyze it and discuss it and build ourselves up. We would just be looking and staring at infinity. You know what you do when you stare at infinity? Your mouth is open and you just, wow. That's what we would be doing all day. Every time we would open up our chumash to try and study some Torah together, instead of me or you being able to open our mouths and say a concept, we would just be, it's infinite. I can't talk. I can't do anything. Infinity actually limits the human being because the human being doesn't know what to do with infinity. So God said, I'm going to take my infinite concepts and I'm going to put them in little morsels, little bite-sized pieces, which is going to be called the world. This world is connected. It's a manifestation to everything from above. And you're going to be able to climb your way up from here to the infinite place. But I'm going to give you little bite-sized pieces. I'm going to give you a chumash. I'm going to give you a concept, another concept, another concept. To the point that me and you could discuss Torah together. Right now in this 45 minutes that we've been together, we have spoken about two or three or four concepts. But these concepts, because they're limited, we're able to understand them. Now that we're able to understand them, we can now connect to God who is infinite. So if you try and understand it like a chain, God is up there and he's infinite. And that's what you call nothing. He sent down this ladder with rungs on it. Each one of these rungs are limited bits of Torah, limited bits of understanding, limited bits of inspiration. If you hold on to that ladder, you're connected to infinity. You're connected to the world to come. But what we got to do is, what we have to do is take one piece at a time and climb our way up. Take one limited bit, understand it, connect to it. Go through a festival, connect to the four species, connect to the sukkah, connect to Passover, connect to the shofar that we learn in Rosh Hashanah, connect to the words of Torah, connect to the words of prayer. Take that and climb up the ladder. But you want to know where you're climbing up the ladder to? You're climbing up the ladder from a finite world to an infinite world. So if you would want to know, and this is a beautiful eye-opening way of understanding life. When we die, is it that we started off and we went round and then we went down and we died? Or is it that when we died, we actually got to the top rung of the ladder, but we actually leave this world, which is finite, and we go up to the next rung? And the reason why we're not in this world anymore is because we've transcended this world and we've gone to an infinite place. This world is not like this. This world is a ladder where we climb up. But the only way to climb up is by creating something from nothing. You create something from nothing, you've created a limitation. Now that you have a limitation, there's what to work with. Now that you have what to work with, you could climb up the ladder, and we hope that as we go through life, we're climbing up and connecting to infinity more and more and more. The more we do this, we merit to go to the world to come, which is the home of infinity. So let us summarize what we've just said. I really hope that this has been clear. To summarize what we've said. In the beginning, God created. Day one is the only day of creation. Afterwards is formation. The only day that something came from nothing is day one. He made two types of stuff, two types of material. The material for heaven, the material for earth. We're going to define now the definition of the material of the earth. And that is earth, water, fire, and wind. That is the basic definition of it. Then God came into that backdrop and he said, let there be light. We explained that that is what we do. We come into a world of stuff and we give it light. With the Torah, with God's commandments, 613 ways of how to give a form, how to give an elevation to all the matter, all the stuff that goes on in this world. We're climbing up ladder to Noah, as Mark Sievers writes. Beautiful. We are literally with what's going on. But Noah is not a derogatory thing. We're climbing up in this world. We're giving it light, limited light, more light, more light, until we're reaching infinity. When we reach infinity, the only word we're going to have to describe that is nothing, because it's too big to give it a name of something. We're going to call it nothing. And that is what we do in this world. If I could just, the last minute that I have, one point that I didn't mention, that I see that I believe Rabbi Haman pointed out. There's one area in the world where we do create something from nothing. And this I heard from Rabbi Akiva Tatz, who I believe was quoting his teacher of Moshe Shapiro. There's one area in creation in the world today where we partner with God, where we actually create something from nothing. And that is our free will. Because when we have a free will, when we make a choice, where is that choice coming from? It can't be coming from anywhere forcing us to make that choice, because then it wouldn't be free. Then we would be forced to make it. So it wouldn't be free will. If you're going to define, this is, you could say, the point to ponder that I'm going to leave you with. If you want to call free will really free, that means that there's nothing that made us choose one way or the other. We just chose from where? Created. Every time we make a choice, we're actually creating this decision from Noah. When I say from Noah, that means we're drawing down from a place of Noah, from a place where our soul knows what the right thing to do is. And we're drawing a choice down from there. And we're creating a choice. Once we created our choice, now we need to go and give that choice a form. We got to give it light. We got to give it a shape. We got to elevate it. And then we need to remember that we can't stop doing that. We need to go round and round again. We need to give it one level, one layer. Give it another layer, choose again, give it another layer, choose again and give it another layer until we climb our way up the ladder and we reach all the way to the home of infinity where we'll get our share in the world to come. So that is what we'll say today for day one. All going well, same time, same place. We will talk about day two next week, next Monday at 7:10. God willing. And please, please reach out to me with any questions. We'd love to hear from you. And we'll discuss anything that needs clarity. Thank you all very, very much.